Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jed's in charge. I'm going on a bender.
Jed Hoyer.
People care so much about the Cubs. It's an honor to work for a team where the fans care that much.
Chicago Cubs president of baseball operations.
Jed Hoyer, man, what a story that is.
World Series champion general manager.
The key to this whole operation is going to be building that scouting player development machine. The Cubs way.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Jed Hoyer.
My thought on Craig, as I've always watched him against us, was the Bum Phillips quote where he says,
he can take his'ins and beat yourn's. And when he beats yourn's, okay, he can take yourn's and beat his'ins.
There's nothing wrong with Nico Horner. Nico's just got to keep grinding and all the hits are going to come.
Line drive, base hit, right field. Grichik up with it. Only one will score. And it is 3-2. The Cubs with the lead as Nico comes through.
Cubs win the ball game. And a big win for this Cubs ball club as they beat the Diamondbacks by a score of 3-2. What a ball game.
Jed Hoyer with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Love whenever we get to talk to the president of the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, on the Parkinson Spiegel Show. He's with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Jed, thank you for the time, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. I don't know if you know or remember, but we have Nico Horner on the show weekly. He was just on about 30 minutes ago.
Good.
Yeah, and we told him that last night we're dubbing it the Nico game. I think that's a signature game for him.
No, he was great, and we didn't swing the bats at all, really, that whole game. And frankly, we've been struggling on this whole trip, and it was we needed a kind of a random play, like the scoring from second in the ninth, and then obviously like the big hit he came up with. We needed that big hit, so yeah, he sparked us last night, and he's been scuffling a little bit to start the year, but I almost think sometimes it's a positive that there's gonna be guys that are hot and guys are cold at the same time. And I know that when some of these other guys cool off, I know Nico will get hot. And it's kind of nice to have that because it's sort of a matter of time until he gets going.
Are you worried about the offense overall? You mentioned it's been scuffling, but I also feel like the quality of the bats have been good and some guys have been aggressive as they should be in the zone. Like it seemed to be functioning well, if not scoring well recently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I mean, obviously Saya's injury is one that's going to take a little bit of a toll on the offense, given how he was swinging it and where he was hitting in the lineup. But I feel like in general, I totally agree. I felt like through the Dodgers series, I felt like our at bats were really good and we were getting results. And I've seen it a lot of times. Teams go on the West Coast and for whatever reason they struggle a little bit. And we've had a number of guys on this trip that just haven't really hit, but yeah, my concern level is zero. It's just, I just think it's a slump on the West Coast. And, fortunately we've been able to win these last three games without scoring a ton. And so, eventually we'll get the offense going and they'll pick up the pitchers a little bit.
Actually, I'm sorry. One more thing on Nico. He said that you guys have a swing decision metric. I already forgot what he called it. It was 15 minutes ago, but he said, that swing on the hit that drove in the game winning run, it's going to grade out poorly, but what's it called? What goes into that, basically? Just decisions within the zone?
Yeah, well, it's both, right? You want to make good decisions outside the zone. You want to swing it, not swing at balls. But, if you let a 1-0 fastball right down the middle, you let that go, that's a bad decision, right? And I think it's important to recognize both, and that's what we try to do, which is you want guys to be aggressive in the zone. You want guys to, not be aggressive outside the zone. And so we grade that stuff out. And, I love the fact that he references that, because it's something that we, take a lot of pride in. And it's something that I think we've done, a really good job of so far this year. And that just only benefits you as you go, right? You grind down other pitchers, you make good decisions. And I just clicked on it right now. According to how we rank it, we're still, the top team in the National League that way. So it is important to us, and hopefully we can keep on having at-bats like that.
So how's Christopher Morel been doing in that particular metric? Looked real good to start, but I think it's 0 for his last 18. First of all, physically, is he okay? It looked like the finger, the knuckle, was an issue, and then 0 for 18 since he hurt it.
Yeah, I don't know if they're, if it's coincidental or not. I think it bothered him a little bit. Obviously, he hit the ball last night really hard and got really unlucky. He could have been a hero last night with that ball he hit to left. But we have a number of guys that have been struggling on this trip. And I think that when you look at Chris, I think he's, below 20% strikeout rate still, which is really good for him. And kind of just a matter of time until he gets hot again.
So we're talking to Jed Hoyer here on The Score, and you mentioned it earlier, and we should talk a little bit more about it. How does this Saya oblique injury, I know it's left v. right, but like, how does it compare to the last one?
Unclear. I think that it was, last time, I think it was more on one swing. This one kind of crept up on us a little bit. He says it wasn't on one swing, but, hopefully he can heal quickly and get back. The time frame last year is a little hard to figure, because he did it right before the first spring training game last year, which means he had no buildup. He had no at bats. And so we had to take it a little bit longer last year with the rehab, because he needed a spring training. So the hope is that, ideally he would come back a little quicker than last year's timetable, but yeah, we're going to have to play without him for a little while. And, he was really coming into his own over really since the middle of last year, and looked great in spring training and looked great at the beginning of the year. And there's no reason to think he won't come back that way. But in the meantime, we have a hole in the lineup that we have to fix.
Obliques can linger and be challenging. Is there anything to learn from the process of getting him back last year for him this year?
Is the other one? Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. I think we'll be having a lot of debates and a lot of discussions about, sort of what led to it. Cause last year was the other side. And, is there something about how he trains or something about him physically or, something about something we're doing, but yeah, certainly it's something we're going to look at and take seriously. Cause it's the second oblique in the last year. And, we have to make sure we can keep this guy healthy.
Was there any other player you considered other than Canario? Did PCA or Owen Casey hit your mind?
No. I mean, I think, Canario was the right guy. I feel like we need some presence against left-handed pitching. And obviously, Wisdom is a guy who's also in AAA, who's rehabbing and on his way back. And hopefully, he can, keep doing what he's doing in Iowa, and he can be an option at some point as well. But yeah, Canario was sort of the obvious choice.
So Jed, I know that this,
follow on that. I mean, I do think that's one of the things we're excited about. I think as the year goes on, our hope is that, some of these prospects will feel ready and will make some of those decisions. I think early on in the season, we're probably more likely to rely on the guys on the 40-man roster and let those guys play and let those guys develop. But, at some point, the hope is that when we have that kind of injury, then that can be an opportunity for a prospect that we've been kind of holding off the roster.
We're so used to dealing with, there's all those prospects down there, but you got to be patient. But I don't know to your point, what you're saying, this is a year that begs for those guys to get an aggressive call up if they fit. I mean, we've already seen it with Brown. It's not off the table that we might see Shaw, Casey, PCA, any of these guys during the course of the year, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously you have to do the right thing by the player. I think that, clearly rushing guys, I think can have a negative impact. And obviously if you do that, they're also not going to help the team, either. So I think we have to be careful with that, but certainly we have a number of prospects that have spent a lot of time in the minors that have developed. And, I think if they continue to play well, I think that becomes an option. And, you mentioned Ben Brown. I mean, that's we optioned him in spring training and told him, to be the guy when something happened. And unfortunately, you know, five innings into our season, we had the injury to Steele, and he was the obvious guy. So, you know, every day you sort of look at trade rumors or look at the email that goes around with all the roster moves on a given day. And every day there's a good player that gets injured around the big leagues. And sometimes it's your player, and that's just the game, right? If you take any one player off the team and you're not a good team, then that's the fault of your depth. And that's kind of how I try to look at it, that, you know, we have to have, you know, players that can step in for everybody. You don't like to lose anyone, but like, if you do lose them, we have to have the depth to withstand that. And, you know, the Saya injury and the Steele injury, those, and the Merriweather injury, those are good challenges for us as a team early in the season.
All right, so settle a debate for us that we had the day after opening day. Spieg said you guys were definitely having internal conversations about trades. I was like, no, it's way too soon. They won't do that. Who was right?
Yeah, no one really trades that early in the season.
Thank you. I think
it's something you talk about. You kind of ask who's available.
That's what I'm saying. You brought it up. You're sitting there talking about it. Whether people are available or not is a different question, Jed.
Sounds like Parkins was right on.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, you always talk about it, but the fact is that in my experience, it's just so unbelievably rare for someone to make a trade in April or even in May. It usually takes a while into the season before any trade of any significance happens. And so usually when you leave spring training, you're thinking this is at least the first 2 or 3 months. This is our group, in the minors and in the big leagues. And the external stuff, you know, other than waiver claims and small things, it takes a while.
See, we have this image of you as the crazy aggressive one in the front office conversations, because last year we brought up to Carter Hawkins down the stretch, have you thought about Cade Horton in relief? He looked at us and he said, who are you, Jed? Like, so we think that you're the guy who's like, well, let's trade for Shane Bieber. It's day two, Jed. We can't do this yet. Does that fit your profile, though? Are you a little more aggressive than Carter?
Well, he's very, very long player development background. So I think that, you know, he's always going to take that position, which is great, because, you know, I do think that, you know, like I said, I think there's real damage that can be done if you grab a guy too early. But he would agree. Like, you know, Ben Brown's a guy. Certainly you look at him and you think, okay, you give him a bunch of starts in AAA to start the season. But that wasn't an option. And I'm so impressed with how he bounced back after that second inning in Texas. That was, you know, he got killed, and then, you know, to bounce back and have three good starts, it shows some real resilience. And that's the kind of experience you just can't get in the minor leagues. And he's getting that, you know, in real time right now, which is wonderful.
We're talking to Jed Hoyer. We've talked to you about Kyle Hendricks so much over the years. And I think you said that he is your favorite player that you've interacted with the Cubs, or that you've never had a negative interaction. Everybody loves him, obviously. Does that make it more difficult when he's struggling, when your job is to be dispassionate and put the best guys out there?
Yeah, I mean, I literally the lowest maintenance employee / teammate I've ever had. He's incredible, you know, and just a joy to be around. And I think you look at his career, I think he's just made the most of what he had over and over and over. And, you know, I feel like he's had his times of struggles in the past and he's gotten through them. And, you know, my hope is that this is another one of those times. You know, I feel like the third time through the order has really bitten him so far this year, and that's something obviously he's going to have to work through. He's also faced, you know, Rangers, Dodgers, Padres, which I think has been a tough slate for him early in the season. But yeah, he's obviously, he would say it, and you know, he expects more of himself, and you know, obviously we expect him to pitch well. But I think there's, you know, we have to remember we're three starts into his season. You know, he's got, you know, was he 29 more probably. So I think that giving him a little bit of leeway and time to work his way through it, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I try to remember over and over that, you know, the things we think about in April and the things that we talk about in April, like, so oftentimes by June, let alone August, seem so remote. So that's hopefully how I'm looking at this, you know, rough three starts, that you look up and it was clearly a bad patch, and then he got going again and pitched really well.
So it's interesting because Assad has ended up in the rotation, and now Brown has ended up in the rotation. I wondered if Craig Counsell may have been a guy who utilized pitchers in bulk. We've gotten so used to that as a philosophy, and now we've seen Keegan Thompson with two straight multiple inning appearances. Do you think Craig would have done things differently if he had bulk guys available in the bullpen to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, you know, and we've talked about that a lot, like we just haven't had those options yet because of the injury to Steele and the injury to Talion. You know, two of the guys that we might have used in those roles have had to, both those guys have had to, you know, pitch in the rotation. So, you know, listen, I hope at some point we get to a place where all of our guys are healthy. And when that happens, we'll have some good but difficult decisions. But I also know well enough to know that, like, we may never get to that point of perfect health, but that's why you build up the depth. But yes, I think if we ever do get to that point, I think that there probably there'll be a lot of creative options discussed, because I do think that, you know, in baseball 2024, there's a real risk of just, if every night you're getting 12 outs out of, you know, four different relievers, you do that over and over and over, like, there's just going to be a real negative impact on those guys over time. And so you have to find ways to either get more length out of your starters or to use guys in bulk that can take the weight off those guys. So, and you have to still win games while you do that.
So it is Julio Teheran, who's now in the minors. Is that a rotation option that would help you have one of those guys as a bulk person in the bullpen? Is that appetizing on that level?
Yeah, that's why you sign a guy like that, is that you know, potentially he could be, you know, put in a role like that. So yeah, that's why, I mean, we was trying to build up as much depth as possible. And like I said, every day someone goes down somewhere in baseball, and you just got to be able to be able to handle it. And I think so far we've handled the injury to Talion and Steele well, but we have to keep expecting, you know, more. And obviously, like you said, like those Brown and Assad are two good examples. You know, Teheran's a good example of guys I think can help us in bulk.
Would Jed Hoyer like to take this opportunity to say, "I told you so" on Michael Bush?
I don't know. It's April 16th, but I am really, I'm happy for him. You know, I think a guy that, he's in such a great organization with the Dodgers. They had so many bats. You know, he's a guy that, you know, probably in most organizations would have been up, you know, if not all, you know, late in 22 or, you know, all of last year. And, you know, he was in that organization and kind of blocked. And so, you know, I feel really good for him that he's kind of gotten his opportunity. And so far he's run with it. He's had really good at-bats. He's homered against some really good pitchers. And hopefully he continues to build on this. I mean, obviously what he's doing right now is really special. But I think even taking away the power surge, I just think he's conducted really professional at-bats all season.
So what's the difference between him and somebody else who has also conquered AAA and doesn't necessarily have it compute to the next level? What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spike the football on Michael Bush. You know, I think that I do feel like there's, you know, again, we've played, you know, a limited number of games so far to say that. But I do think that, you know, like I said, his decision-making is excellent. And I think that really does go a long way. You know, when you see him take that at bat against Jarvis last night in extra innings and draw that walk, I mean, that's an impressive walk in a big situation to have the calmness to take that pitch below the zone. Those are the kind of takes he's had and the kind of things that we identify that we say that, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons why he should hit in the major leagues. And I think, you know, in baseball now, I think there's a lot, like the gap between the minors and the big leagues is bigger than ever before. The stuff in the major leagues is so good. And so there are players you're trying to figure out, like, is this guy's performance in the minor leagues going to translate when, you know, all the stuff is better and, you know, everything is magnified. And I do think that the ability to make good decisions is a big part of why it does translate for some guys.
Now you're speaking my language with this spiking of the football. What does Jed Hoyer think of Caleb Williams?
You know, I've only seen him in person once. My son and I saw him play last year at USC, and he was incredible. So I don't know what Ryan's going to do. Who knows if he has a, you know, a trick up his sleeve. But if that's the direction he goes, it's pretty exciting for the franchise. And by the way, like, pretty hard to imagine a better transaction than that trade. You know, when you think about you know, getting DJ Moore and the picks, and also ending up with the number one pick the next year. I mean, that's a plus plus level, and he should be super proud of himself. And hopefully it's a transaction that pays dividends for a long time.
So the interesting strategy here, he's got the number one pick. We'll assume it's going to be Caleb just for the sake of discussion. That's what everyone thinks it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. He also has the ninth pick. Do you protect your asset? Do you give him a fun asset to throw to? Do you go final piece of the defense? If Jed Hoyer had to take over for Ryan Poles for a day, what are you targeting with the ninth pick?
Well, certainly he's the one that knows what he's doing. I just said, like, the original trade was so good. I trust him.
I know, but come on. You play fantasy football at a high level. Come on now.
My gut always is this build through the lines. You know, that's always like my gut on these things, is it's super boring and it doesn't get the excitement on draft day. But ultimately, you know, like to your point of protecting the guy and making sure that you control the line of scrimmage, it just seems like the best teams are built that way, you know?
Boring.
But again, it's really boring, but that's the, you know, everyone wants skill positions, but you asked my opinion. I gave it to you.
I did.
All right. So two quick follow-ups on this. Will you ever go the Paul D. Podesta way of trying to run a football team, Jed?
Oh man. Yeah. Hey, listen, I think everyone has the thoughts of different sports just because we're all into different sports, but you know, sometimes it's kind of fun. Like in football, I can openly be just a fan, you know, I can just be excited about stuff. Like, I think I'm probably going to try to take one of my sons to the Bulls tomorrow night and hope they win the play-in game. And I just like to be a fan of other sports. Like, this has become, for, you know, whatever, 24 years, this has been what I've worked on in baseball. And like, I'm never going to get to that level of knowledge in another sport. And sometimes I think it's, even talking about the draft, it's like, you know, Ryan's done this his whole career. I trust that he knows what he's doing. So I think you think about it sometimes, but then you realize that, you know what, other people have done this their whole career and they know what they're doing.
All right. And then the other one, Bill Belichick was at the White Sox game the other day, and we're wondering if he could be a manager. How long would it take Belichick to be a good baseball manager?
Good question.
yeah, I don't know. I don't think he could do it. I mean, I think that, like, when you – No, because I think that, like, he's one of the greatest. He's probably the greatest football mind of all time. I think he's a guy that, you know, is studying at the, you know, with his dad at the Naval Academy when he was a kid, and yep. I think he's broken down film forever and ever and ever. And like, what he's the best at is seeing the game of football and knowing how to implement it. I bet you he would tell you, like, why do you think I can manage a baseball team? So that'd be my two cents.
All right, bench coach? Bench coach, maybe?
Motivate, whatever the motivator is, yeah. Do your job. Yeah.
Right. Jed, thank you for dealing with our nonsense. We always enjoy talking to you, man.
Always. Thanks, guys. I'll see you.
See you at Wrigley. Yeah, that's Jed Hoyer.
Bill Belichick, bench coach. Just like, hey, Bill, talk to those guys. Go ahead.
I can react to his offensive line thought if you want, but I assume people would be interested more in the Kyle Hendricks answer, the pitching usage answer, the injury stuff with Saya. So there were some things to get into there with Jed Hoyer. We got Pat Tomasulo in an hour. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.